2.5 years ago, the world watched as many as 1 million people were slaughtered in the Central African nation of Rwanda. Now, the world is ready to begin punishing those responsible for the genocide against the Tutsi minority. 1 month from now, the UN War Crimes Tribunal for Rwanda will hear its first case in a courtroom in Arusha, Tanzania. The accused is Jean-Paul Akayesu, a local Hutu mayor from central Rwanda. He is not charged with planning the genocide, but rather with being one of those people who made it possible. Along with many other local officials, Akayesu is accused of carrying the plan into his community, inciting others to join the killing spree and committing murder himself. NPR's Michael Scholar visited Akayesu's home region, Taba, and met some of his accusers.
Taba is a sleepy place of banana groves, bean fields, mud huts, and concrete houses. The hills are lush, the roads rough. Government here is a single-story building with a flag outside. The few civil servants do little more than keep records and bang out IDs and other documents. Jean-Paul Akayesu was in charge here in 1994. He was the burgomaster, the mayor of a community of 64,000. Now another man sits in his chair and holds the title, a man who once viewed Akayesu as a friend.
Yeah, we were living together in a peaceful way. We used to chat, we used to come across each other in the bar and share a glass as usual in a Rwandan way.
But you never know what lies in someone's heart, explains Ephraim Karangwa, the new burgomaster. He found out on April 18, 1994, 10 days after the assassination of Rwanda's president and the start of the genocide. Akayesu called a town meeting and allegedly told the crowd that traitors were living in their midst. He named several, among them Karangwa.
A man, who was a good-hearted man, came along straight away and told me that you will be killed, you have to flee, because you are on the blacklist of the people who have to be killed in the next few hours.
Karangwa is an ethnic Tutsi, and in this community, like in all of Rwanda, Tutsis are a minority. Akayesu reportedly told the Hutu crowd at the meeting they must kill their Tutsi neighbors because the Tutsis were all rebels bent on taking over Rwanda. Karangwa did flee after the warning. From a hilltop, he watched Hutus burn his house. His family headed for a relative's home in a neighboring area, but he says Akayesu and his militia showed up there and captured his three brothers, who were the first to arrive. Karangwa says he kept back and watched while Akayesu told the villagers it was their duty to kill the Tutsis.
He kept on convincing them by saying, these people are rebels, and to make sure that they are rebels, let me show you an example. He immediately shot one of my brother. I saw it.
He says Akayesu's militia, known as the Interahamwe, killed the other brothers with machetes. Karangwa takes me from his office and past a banana grove. We head toward a low mound of earth as long as a bowling alley, but wider. Grass is starting to blur its outline.
The Interahamwe would go into small villages and gather Tutsi peasants, and Akayesu would just bring them here, and they would be killed here, and this is their mass grave.
How many people are in this grave?
I don't know exactly how many people were killed, but they are in thousands.
In the thousands?
Yeah.
It looks like there is another identical grave just about 30 feet away.
Hmm. Yes, there is another one similar to this.
And like many who led Rwanda's genocide, Akayesu apparently did not confine his wrath to Tutsis alone. Bernadette Nakirutinka, a small Hutu woman of about 60, points to holes in her mud and stick home made by Akayesu's men. One night, she says, the men came there, knocked her down with a gun, and searched for Tutsis she had been hiding. When they didn't find any, they pulled her toward a waiting car. Akayesu was inside.
And Akayesu came out of his car. He took me by the arm, and he told me to lay down. I did lay down, and he stepped on top of my head, and his colleague stood on top of my shoulders. And then I cried. I said, what have I done to have all of this? And then they kept on just torturing me.
She says they tied her hands, left her on the ground, and slowly drove toward her, demanding to know where the Tutsis had gone. She said nothing, though ultimately it was useless. The three she hid were later found elsewhere and killed. She lost her Tutsi husband in the genocide, and as she tells her story, she cradles a quiet 3-year-old girl, a granddaughter. She explains that the little girl's father, Nakirutinka's son, was also a victim of Akayesu. Many in Taba have told their stories to investigators for the UN tribunal. Some will testify against their former burgomaster during his trial. I asked several what punishment they thought Akayesu deserved. They said that was up to God. They just wanted to look him in the eyes, not to shout or spit, but to show him they had survived in spite of all he had done. Many Rwandans may get that satisfaction, since the court expects to hold dozens of trials over the next few years, prosecuting leaders far more notorious than Jean-Paul Akayesu. This is Michael Scholar.